What a great thing. What a great thing. Don't you hate when you get the giggles in church? I love it too. It makes me think of when my granddad and I used to get in. You know, some of you know this. I used to sing in the choir with my granddad before I could read. You know, well, I mean, it's more than just me and my granddad, but in the choir. But we'd sit up there, and there was that one Sunday after church that my mother threatened to take both of us out if it ever happened again. It was so great. But anyway, I love it. I love it. The gift of children and laughter, and we know that. And the gift of their energy and their, I mean, they just see the world through such different lens and don't care what the world tells them or anybody else. And they do their thing. And wow, what a fresh spirit. What a way to begin a new year for us to remember that and to kind of be a little more like children and to look at things with a little more kindness and laughter and joy. Especially on a day when we celebrate Jesus receiving the wise men into the house. The wise men, most of the scholars tell us, showed up about 2 years later. They were late. Can you imagine going to a birthday, a baby shower 2 years after the date scheduled? People would really look at you kind of weird. But they showed up, maybe they began their journey when the shepherds did, we don't know. Maybe it was something about it, it took a little time for them to figure out how to get together. They had to form a committee to go to visit Jesus, just like every Methodist church in the world. Other denominations as well. Presbyterians like to think they've created the word committee, but it's a tie. But anyway, I mean, it took them some time to get together. And I mean, you know, to think about getting gold together and frankincense and myrrh, I mean, they may have had some hanging around their house or something. But, you know, that took a little bit of time to get together. It's still cold in the nursery, isn't it? Yeah, it's cold over there. Those kids are zealous. But it took them some time to get together and to begin their journey. I thought about that. Sometimes it takes us a little while to get together and to begin our journey. It's kind of like getting new heat. It takes us a while to think about it, talk about it, look at it. It takes us a while to plan to go on a vacation, on a trip. It takes us a while to figure out if we're going to, get a new pair of shoes. We look at them for 16 months, and then finally they go on sale, and we've determined if nobody else would buy them, we're not either. You know how that goes. But it takes us a while to figure out what we really want to do and how we want to do it and how we want to respond. Part of it, I think, in our faith is it, and the wise men kind of make this issue come to my mind, is why did it take them so long to take off? And how do I respond in my life? And how do I respond? I mean, am I willing to travel 2 years to get to Jesus? You know, a lot of times we think Jesus is supposed to take the wheel, as we say, to fix whatever it is, from parking to major health crisis in an instant. And sometimes that's not the answer that we get. Oftentimes it's not. Sometimes the most frustrating one, I think, for many of us is not yet. God's plan is different. And I think people forget that. God's time is different. It takes a while for God to get where God needs us or needs each of us to be, before we can really begin the journey with all that we are and to take what we have that are precious to us and to offer it up to Christ, for Christ to transform our lives and to change the world as we see it. I think that's important for us to think about as these wise men began their journey. It was very I didn't know some of this. Epiphany is celebrated throughout the world much more than it is in our culture typically. Spain, it's a really big deal. Puerto Rico, I heard on NPR this morning that it's amazing what the in Puerto Rico what the kids do for Epiphany. They take grass or hay and put it in a box underneath their bed. Why would they do that? Anybody else hear the article this morning? Good. See, I'm teaching you something you didn't know. It's for the camels, for the Epiphany that they celebrate for the camels. And what do you think parents do? Or what the camels do? They eat the hay or the grass, and they leave presents. I mean, it's presents are more associated with the wise men than perhaps the nativity. That's God's gift to us, and that's what we say and why we celebrate, give presents on Christmas, besides the commercialism and the, you know, telling that we have to do it and what has become part of our culture. But the wise men, you know, the camels eat the hay and then they get their gifts underneath their beds and celebrate that. They're talking about what happens with the Puerto Ricans, especially as so many people have moved to different parts of the U.S., especially far north, and they can't get any hay or grass because it's covered in snow. And the towns that have these parades, that they can't have camels because camels can't hang out in 0 degree temperatures that we're having. So it's really changed some of the idea. But yeah, it becomes such a larger day. It's a bigger day. Sometimes we do need to kind of think about, part of the reason that I love the liturgical year is it does lay markers upon the way that we set and we kind of dig down a little bit and kind of examine part of the life of Christ and the life of the church and part of our history and part of who we are, so that I always think that it's important to know who we are so that we can figure out where we need to go. We've got to kind of examine that and understand that and the reason for that. Well, I mean, I think that's good for us to think about it. I also think it's good for us to think about what the Epiphany stands for. I mean, it's amazing that there's a star involved right from the beginning. And it's amazing that these wise men, we don't really know that there were three. We know that there were three gifts. There may have been 15 or there may have been one or two. I guess plural would be at least two or more. But we don't know how many, but we know the gifts that they brought. We don't really know how many they are. We don't know exactly where they were from, who they were, those kind of things. Oh, there's some legend out there, but we don't know for certain. But we do know that part of what their journey symbolizes and part of what their presence symbolizes is that Jesus was God's gift to the entire world. What we do know is they were not Jewish people. They did not live in the region. They were not of that area. That they were from afar. They were from a different place. But that the child that was born in the manger was a gift not only to a region or a place, but to the whole wide world. People who spoke different languages, people who looked different, people who acted different, people who used different animals to get there than the donkeys. But they came partly out of reverence for who Jesus was and to symbolize the gift of Jesus to the whole wide world. How does that change who we are and how we act and how we live? How do we understand that in that light of the wise men? How do we react and respond to God's call upon our life? That we've offered what gifts we have to God, and God calls us to serve the kingdom and to work in the kingdom. Is it just our neighbors next to us in our houses, or is it across the globe, across the world? Is everybody seen as important or just a small little segment? I don't know. I think the God who calls us and to follow after him and to nurture and sustain one another through the gift of God's Spirit living within us and through God's grace, calls us all around us to be in ministry and to the love and to compassion and to offer what gifts we have. Some of you, most of you know the Little Drummer Boy song. You know, I like that song and it gets on my nerve at the same time. But I think the message of that song, which was, I think it was written in 43 or something like that. I think from what I remember, and it got famous and those kind of things. But the message of that song is, I'm not sure what I can offer Christ as a gift, but I'll do whatever I can, and so I played my drum for him, right? Well, it's based in a 12th century poem out of France. And that, you know, that pretty much goes through the same process and offers whatever it is that the poet has for God, for Jesus. What today's microphone fun, right? And part of the gift that, in response to God's gift to us, and we offer ourselves to God, is that we offer whatever it is that we have. You know, we've talked about what have we talked about before? Okay, maybe, there we go. Okay, I think we'll try it. Okay, sorry. Loose connection, cold weather. You know, they said there'd be days like this. Let's try it one more time. And then if it doesn't, then we're just going to go the old-fashioned way. We've talked about and give some membership to the church, and part of what that is, it's not just loyalty to an institution, but it is to God's kingdom. Part of what we offer and ask people is to follow after Christ with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness into the world. That's not just for the church, that's for us. That's it, I'm done. Y'all gonna have to.
Is it on?
That's it.
Where do you want to vent? I'm about to throw microphones.
No, I'm just kidding. Where is it that we can respond? How is it that where do we get the encouragement to keep going in our life to make a difference in the world? And part of it's because of this little child that was born in a manger long ago. And we know that what he's taught and what he's shared with the world has changed the world for the better. And we're called to change and to offer that and to be like him, to mirror him into the world, to be his ambassadors. Our presence, where is it that, our presence makes a difference? You know, our membership presence is partly about being present at church. But part of it means don't put our heads in the sand and disregard the presence in the world. I wish you could sometimes, but that's not going to change anything. We've got to go and be with and to change and transform. Our gifts, what is it that we offer up to God? I'm very, very pleased to say that your response to this year's estimate of giving is the best that it has been since I've been at this church. It's a 30% increase over last year. I can't remember the number. It's high. It's maybe $90,000 that you all have estimated that you're going to give to this church and to its ministry. That's amazing. Thank you. Thanks for the leadership that you all have provided for our congregation. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for the faith that you have in ministry happening in this place, not for this church, but for God's kingdom. It's amazing. But also, where do we put our resources?
Some of you said I was such a wake-up call when I, you know, had $1,000 a year cable bill and my giving was not where it needed to be. I mean, this was a long time ago. I sat down and I was given, I think, maybe $2,000 when I first started out. You know, I was growing into this stuff. I've gone up every year. Except this year, I've stayed the same. I'll admit that. But every year I've gone up otherwise. And I started out giving $2,000 and I had a $1,000 cable bill. And I was giving $2,000 to the church. I'm like, whoa, I got some misguided ideas. So I called the cable company and I said, I need to reduce my service. They said, well, you got the cheapest plan. I said, that's okay, turn it off. They're like, what are you going to do for TV? I said, rabbit ears. She didn't know what that was. It's a true story. Our gifts. Where are our gifts and what do we do with them? I'm not saying you have to give all your resources to this church. I'm not asking for that. But to make a difference in something other than ourselves. The more I give, the better I feel about it. Because I feel like that I'm doing something else other than just appeasing my need for commercialism and capitalism. Service. What is it we do for God's kingdom in God's world? What do we just stay busy doing for ourselves? New Year's is always a good time to think about that. Service in God's kingdom, make a difference in people's life. I mean, what can we do? How can we do something different? Be in prayer about that. I mean, we've got a new opportunity with Robert guiding us and kind of help with the connecting with our community in a different way. How is it that your soul is being moved? Do you know that the Salvation Army started by a Methodist layperson? Did you know that? Yeah. I love, once I was in a conference with an Episcopal priest, and he said he loved having the Methodist church around. And he said he loved having the Methodist church so large in America, he said, because it was a constant critique on his Episcopal church. Because we came out of the Anglican Episcopal church tradition. He said that we are reminders of the need to reform. And he said, but you Methodists, you have the Salvation Army. He said, that's your critique. I loved it. It was great. That if the layperson went to a pastor and said, I really have an idea about doing this. And the pastor's like, well, we're really busy. We don't have time for this. So he said, fine, I'll go do it myself. And he did. So it's, what is it that God's calling you and how to transform your life and your witness? How is it that we live in the world? Can anybody look at us as we walk by and say, that person's different? That person is, there's something different about that person. I can realize Christ's presence in them. Or they're like, man, they're a jerk. Yeah, hope not. The way we present ourselves, one of my favorite things to do is, I've never done this here, but there are other churches that I've been a part of that I've done this. When I go visit at the hospital, you hear this litany of hollering and screaming and fussing coming down the hallway, you know? And you realize that it's the person I'm about to go in the room to see. And you walk in the room and they're like, oh, Pastor, it's so good to see you. They're so sweet. It's sickening. I'm like, I'm embarrassed to walk out of the hall because they think I'm your preacher and that I've influenced your life in some way. You know, what's our witness in the world? How do we make a difference? Well, I've gone on long enough. The star that guided the wise men continues to the light of the world comes in Christ, guides us, and reminds us of the gift to the world, and that we are a reminder to go forth into the world as God's ambassadors for the world. All honor and glory and power be to the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Amen.